Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Thanks and welcome to the Zion Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date's April 8, 2021. Time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me or pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In emergency, cell phone number is 316-194-886. Now, you can always find updates with breaking news all about the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, folks, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on internationally on YouTube, podcast, on some FM, so pray about supporting their time. It's your donations that keep us on the air, because this pastor sells nothing. Excuse me. I want to thank our... just a second. Cat tried to get my voice right. Anyway, let's thank our listener base that's worldwide in places like Paris, France, Athens, Greece, and Dublin, Ireland. And, of course, cities in the United States, such as Washington, D.C., El Paso, Texas, and Chicago, Illinois. This week, Kansas City, Missouri is the largest group of listeners to our programs when they podcast, at least later tonight. By the way, folks, send us an email at radio@messiahsbranch or a text to my phone, 316-619-4886. Let me know where you're hailing from. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. And I don't know about you folks, but I reserve a place on Trump's new site that's coming out very soon. And even Mike Zillow, you know, the pillow guy, he's got a social media thing too. But I don't know. Should we leave the battlefield before the war's over? I mean, Facebook is a battlefield. So is a Twitter. So should we leave before they kick us off, or should we stay there and fight? That's a good question for you. Let's say a prayer, and we will bring on Pastor Carl Gallups. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everybody out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, I mentioned that we're bringing Pastor Carl on, and from looking up here at the Skype, I can tell he's on with us. Pastor Carl is a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host. You know, people hear him nationally and internationally on TV and over the radio all over the world. He's a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. He's the founder of P.P. Simmons News Ministry Network. And he's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. It doesn't say in my thing there that he is also has a thing called Freedom Fridays, which is a radio program. He also has a Sunday program, and that's called Ask the Preacher. You know, people ought to get over there and really ask the preacher. I like to see Carl under pressure, because actually when he's under pressure, he does really good. I haven't been able to catch him on anything yet, and I've been trying for years. Anyway, Carl's written 11 books now, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lions Roar, roars, God's in throne, God's of ground zero, Rabbi the secret message and the identity of Messiah, Gods of the Final Kingdom, Masquerade, and his newest book is The Summoning. Now, all these books have one thing in common. They're all true. Okay. So, welcome, Pastor Carl. Are you there with me?
Yeah, Pastor Dan, I am. I tell you, I can't believe you just admitted what I've always thought about you, but you never would really own up to it, and you just said that all these years you've been trying to catch me, embarrass me, call me out in front of everybody, catch me in a mistake. And see, I knew that. I knew you were doing that, brother.
Well, in a good sort of way.
I know.
What's this world coming to that Pastor Dan's admitting something like that?
I know. I'm telling you, the world must be off its axis. But you know, and to give a comical but literal answer to your attempts to catch me, I'm just going to go ahead and say that'll never happen. And let me tell you why. Number one, what I know, I know, and I don't mind sharing it. Number two, if you ask me something I don't know, I'm just going to say without shame, I don't know the answer to that. And then if I say something that is strictly my opinion, I'm going to say, now this is my opinion, I could be wrong. So by keeping those three parameters in line, it's going to be hard for you just to catch me, brother. I'm just being funny. That sounds a little arrogant, but I'm just playing off of what you said.
Amen. Well, and I'm glad you did, because, you know, and I do that in the sense that,
sure,
you know, I want to see, well, let's see if he's talking about this or whatever. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because so many things nowadays are just such pre-programmed and everything. Yeah. So, that's why it makes your book so good, though, is just those three things that you stated, because that's the same way that you write.
Thank you.
Try to hoodwink anybody, you know what I'm saying? And there's a narrative that you can't back up, and that there isn't evidence. And if you say it's your opinion, well, amen. That's what you say, and so on and so forth. And so, that's what makes them really good reads, but makes them also, you know, as a reference book, educational, if you will. Back to you.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. I try to do that. You're very gracious for saying that. So anyway, thanks for having me on tonight. I can't imagine what we'll talk about, because there's just nothing prophetic going on these days.
Yeah, I was wondering about that myself. I thought, oh boy, life is just so boring, you know. I was going to ask you, and we can go into it now a little later after I ask you this one question, and that's always a trick, but later in the program, I would like to get into a couple of things. Last time we talked about the days of Noah and Lot. But, you know, a lot of people, they don't understand they don't understand when we talk about the tribulation and wrath and how that's separated. But also, and I had it in my notes and we didn't get to it, I'd like to hear your opinion of the two witnesses, and when are we going to start seeing the big lying signs in one? That's kind of the subject matter we can get into.
Okay. Well, listen, you've just brought up three topics, so I'm going to ask you where you want me to go first. There's the whole thing of the days of Noah and exactly what that means. You were asking about, of course, the two witnesses was the last thing, but there was something else you said in there. All three of them extremely interesting to me. Do you remember what the first two were?
I remember the third one, because these are all kind of together, actually.
Yes.
And in your book, you talk about the difference between the Great Tribulation and the time of wrath.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But prior to this, I do really actually have another question so I can put you off.
Oh, goody. Okay.
I would like to know, and this is, to me, it's always a good subject, what are you feeling from your congregation? I mean, I know you keep them informed. What's the biggest things on their heart right now? I mean, there's so much bad stuff going on. What Carl, is the biggest thing that you know you're hearing from your congregation? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I think it's just probably the same thing that your audience would say and that most of America would say, and really people around the world. You and I both have international ministries, and so I think you will probably agree with me. And that's, there's just this uncomfortable feeling of uncertainty. Now, that's in the human realm. In other words, day by day by day, we're never sure what these idiots in Washington are going to do next. And what they do and what they say, it affects our lives. So that's what I mean by uncertainty. A real born-again, spirit-filled believer who's fairly mature in their faith is not walking around, or shouldn't be, walking around wringing their hands in anxiety and wallowing in fits of depression and fear, because God has not given us the spirit of all of that, but rather, you know, of power and of strength, of courage, truth, love, a sound mind, all of these things. And so, but yet, even in the midst of that, that still doesn't mean that, humanly speaking, we don't have a little bit of concern from day to day, week to week, month to month, and that little gnawing thing of uncertainty. Now, I am certain, as you are, that all of this is in God's hands. I'm certain that He is not slapping His forehead saying, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was going to happen. I am certain that I belong to the Lord, not because I'm so great or anything like that. I'm a pile of sinful flesh, and I'm embarrassed to even think about, you know, my past and what I was before Christ, and even what I still struggle with Christ. But I do know I'm under the blood. I know that I love Him, that my life is sold out to Him. So in that, I don't have any uncertainty. But the biggest thing, listen, when all this COVID stuff first started, we rounded the corner, you know, the greatest concern was, is this a bioweapon? Is this the black plague? Is this the bubonic plague? Is this going to kill us all? Is this the end of the world? Well, it didn't take long to kind of figure out it wasn't that, but still, we saw the weaponization of it. We saw the evil. We saw an election that many of us, you know, feel like was a fake, a fraud, a scam. And then we became heartbroken over where the United States of America seemed to be going, and now this new administration and all of its radical agendas. So that's it. I mean, it's just this uncertainty, and a lot of my preaching and teaching to my congregation revolves around, guys, keep your eyes on Jesus. Okay, Romans 8:28. We are convinced that all things will eventually work together for good that those that know the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:31. What then can we say, should we say to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And on through the Scriptures, we're given that assurance that, look, yes, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Only God does. So yes, I know there can be a twinge of uncertainty. But hang on to the Lord, stand in His Word, keep your eyes on Jesus. You've been raised up for such a time as this. God knows where you are. He hasn't forgotten you. And that's what I continually encourage the church, and that's what I continually preach and teach. And I also tell them, look, here's the perspective for you. Nothing ever remains the same. Nothing. I mean, you know, so people, I don't like Biden being in office. Well, hang on. I don't think it's going to be long. He won't be there. Oh, good. You mean Trump will be there? No, I mean Kamala Harris is probably going to be there, Dan. I mean, you know, I mean, and then I don't know. It could be Obama. It could be Hillary Clinton. They ease in there somehow. We're living in weird times. So we're going to have to take it one day at a time and trust the Lord and really grab that scripture, brother, that preachers used to preach, and we'd sit out in the pews and go, amen, brother, amen, glory, hallelujah. But now that we're living it, I don't hear so many people amening it anymore. I can preach it now, and people don't amen it so much. What is that? This world is not our home, okay? We are ambassadors for the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. Quit clinging so desperately to the things of the world and driving yourself into a fit of depression and discouragement and fear. You know, a little uncertainty, I get that. But just keep your eyes on Jesus and stand in the Word. So that's where a lot of my preaching comes from. And listen, my folks are I think, are overall very mature in the Word. I mean, I've been with them for 35 years. So the foundation of our church, the problem is we're getting so many new people flocking to us now because the churches were closed. We stayed open. They saw that no black plague death hit us. In fact, we didn't have anybody die from COVID. We had people get sick. They went home. They treated it like the flu. And they recovered, and they're back. We had a few people go to the hospital. A couple of them got real sick. They had underlying conditions, et cetera. But we prayed over them. They healed. They're back. They're back stronger than ever. And the world around us has watched this. It's miraculous. And they're flocking to us now. And so some of them are still a little immature. Not all of them. And I'm not saying all of our people are mature and no one else is. I'm just saying there's a mixture of people in our church at all times as to where they are in their spiritual maturity. So that's a long answer, but I'm just, there's so many things that people deal with, but I think it's this uncertainty is the biggest thing among almost everybody. And so I do a lot of preaching and teaching about keeping people focused, keeping people and their lives in perspective. I hope that answers your question.
Well, sure it does. And folks, you know, he could have answered it with uncertainty, and then, you know, but you know how these pastors are.
There you go. There you go.
Here's the point. You know, if I think about you and listen to you about the, I got two small things to say. Number one, think about you, and I believe that the people in your congregation are privileged to have somebody like you. And I say this a lot because, you know, you don't hold back. Talk about everything. You're knowledgeable about everything. And like you say, if you're not, you say it. But, you know, you're putting things out there you got to admit, Carl, most other pastors just aren't doing, or may even be afraid to do it for their job or for whatever sake, just aren't doing it. And so that's why I try to, you know, give people a window to look at you so they know, you know, what they ought to be looking for in a pastor. But I say that, absolutely. The other thing, though, that stood out in that conversation is you talk about new people. Sometimes that drives me crazy. I mean, I love to have new people. You know, you're talking on a level, and all of a sudden you look over and you realize this person doesn't know anything you're talking about because you covered it months ago and everybody else knows and they don't. And so some of those, that kind of bugs me sometimes, but we have to remember, you know, to kind of re-inform people. Anyway, back to you.
Yeah. No, listen, you're absolutely right. You've obviously have, like myself, have spent many years preaching and teaching and pastoring and ministering to people because, no, that's right. That's just I don't know the word I'm looking for here. It's just the way it is among large groups of people, whether it's a church or a para-ministry organization. But the thing is, I get with my people, my foundational people, a lot. Every Sunday night in the sanctuary, we do what's called an Ask the Preacher time. I've told you this before. I've been there 35 years. And the place packs out with people. A lot of people come because I tell them, I say, look, I'm preaching this morning on a Sunday morning, and it's not really cool for you to stand up, interrupt me while I'm preaching, and say, what do you mean by that, or I don't agree with that. So, you know, but I say, come back tonight. You can ask anything you want. Ask the preacher. And so that keeps my preaching on Sunday morning honest, and it satisfies the need for people to kind of get involved in what I'm preaching and teaching. And it also gives me the opportunity to beg them to please forgive me and to understand the position I'm in. So on Sunday mornings, a lot of times, as I'm setting up the context of what I'm going to preach, I will explain or re-explain my people, the things that my people have heard many times over the years. But I tell them, you've got to understand, we've always got brand new people here. We've got lost people here. We've got seekers here. We've got people that have come from other churches, but they've never heard this preaching and teaching before. So I kind of have to set it up, and I'm asking you just to be patient. And they get it. They're very kind. They're gracious. And plus, just we're all humans. Even if they sit out there and listen to it for 30 years, it doesn't mean they're going to remember every word of whatever I've taught. You know, I've discovered that, too. I used to be so vain to think that everybody remembered everything I said. after a few years of preaching, that vanity went away, brother.
Yeah, that's a funny one. You know, I used to get so frustrated because I go on for, you know, over an hour at a time. And, you know, I go, wow, okay, I covered a lot of good things. You know, they might remember two lines. But they did, as long I started concentrating more on trying to just get one or two small points across per session than trying to get, you know, half the Bible in, so to speak, because they'll remember that better. They honestly will. I wonder about Americans sometimes, but, you know, anyway, that's fantastic and great. Man, anyway, about 2 minutes?
Yeah. I wrote the things down you asked me before. I can keep going on those if you want, or whatever, brother. It's your show. Just tell me. But I just wanted you to know I did write them down when you repeated them, so I'm ready to talk about those when you are.
Okay, well, let's talk. I don't know if we're jumping in. Last time we really covered, you know, we talked a lot about Noah and Lot, you know, the times and what that would be like.
Yeah.
You know, that was leading us into there's so much more, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was leading us into the difference between tribulation and wrath. And, of course, you want to talk about the two witnesses. So, you know, whatever you want to do, brother, I'm here for you, man. I love you, and I appreciate you having me on. So just lead the way, dear leader.
Okay. Now I'm a leader, folks. Okay. Let's go. We only got about a minute, but, you know, I would like to go into the two witnesses first and then just go wherever that leads you to go.
And
that's what you usually do anyway.
Yeah.
But now we're at 26 minutes after, so why don't you go ahead and tell folks where to find you, and then we'll talk about the two witnesses when you come back, and folks, we'll see where it takes us.
Yeah, okay. And somewhere near the end, if you'd like, I can give them some update on all this stuff that's going on with the, you know, vaccine passes, vaccine passports, and masks, and the EUA Act, and what's legal and what's not legal. And I think they might find that interesting. I've been doing a lot of interviews about that. But anyway, yeah, folks, you can find me at carlgallups.com, carlgallups.com, CARLGALLUPS. My latest book, The Summoning, is literally out of stock everywhere. It is going crazy all over the world. They are restocking. You can call the number or send an email at carlgallups.com. It's there at the top of the page. And we've got a few left in our own offices, and we're having to restock. But you might want to check that out. Any of my other books, you can see them all there. You can get them all over the place or from us. Videos, live streams, sermons I've preached in the past, it's all there at carlgallups.com.
All right, folks, we'll be back.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Whether you are pre-trib, mid-trib, or pre-wrath, or post-trib, whatever your position is, this book will help you to find the truth. If you're really looking for the truth about the rapture, I honestly believe you will find it in this book. It'll settle in your spirit because the truth is the Holy Spirit knows the truth about the rapture. And one of the reasons that the people other than post-trib can't seem to find peace about this is because the Holy Spirit is trying to tell them that they don't have the truth. That is, until they find post-trib. But either way, this is going to help you to find the peace about the rapture. I really recommend you get it. We offer them in shrink wrap sets of 10. 1 for 20, 10 for 30, and 20 for 50 at prophecyclub.com. 1 for 20, but don't do that. 10 for 30, 20 for 50, give you extras to give to your friends. Because once you read this one, you're going to be handing this to your pastors, to all of your Christian friends, and just ask them to read it. If they get through the first chapter, they're going to read the whole book, and they're going to love it, and it's going to help them to really find the truth about the rapture. How Pre-Trib Won at prophecyclub.com.
In this time of the social and spiritual breakdown of America and the world, in these prophetic end times, God is calling multitudes of Christians to the Ozarks and other safe havens around the world to survive so they can spread the gospel. The Ark Haven Intentional Neighbors Vision is to prepare Christians physically, mentally, and spiritually for these end times. Thousands are coming to the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas and Missouri, where even the CIA says it's one of the safest places on earth. The Intentional Neighbors concept allows Christian neighbors to own adjacent land to each other so they can aid and help each other. The community is exploding with nurses, a doctor, and other professionals, as well as many others. If you cannot afford to buy a house, you can rent a house. Call 479-502-1789. That's 479-502-1789. Or visit arkhaven.org. That's arkhaven.org. Tell them Pastor Dan sent you.
We're back. Pastor Dan Kaplan, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, I don't know if we really get a full hour because of all the commercials, but it's supposed to be an hour. It's from 7 to, or, yeah, this one's from 7 Central to 8 o'clock. But anyway, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Really, we do need your help and pray about supporting talk radio. You can donate online, over the phone, all the normal ways. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. You can do it by PayPal. That's actually our favorite way because online gets it to us just instantly. So pray about it. Anyway, we're back with Pastor Carl Gallup. If he hasn't abandoned us yet. Are you there, Carl?
No, brother, I wouldn't abandon you. You know that. Why would you even say that, brother?
I'm stuck with folks. Couldn't get rid of him if I wanted to.
That's right. Let me get my wife in here to get this knife out of my back, brother.
You're calling wife. I'm going, you know, because I call my wife and everybody runs.
You know. Yeah. No, man, I haven't abandoned you. I'm just always so honored to be on your show. So thanks for having me.
You know what? I have people talk about it. They say, Carl, well, he's just good radio. And you are. You're great radio, and you're great, you know, and everything. But, you know, that's just some...
It's so kind. Well, you know, in the radio world, for somebody to say you're great radio doesn't necessarily mean it's a compliment. You do know that, right? It could be you're such a crazy nut or an insane fool, and you're good entertainment. You know, people can say that. You're a real... Man, you're good radio. Yeah, okay. Well, thanks.
Inside secrets, you know.
Yeah, I know. You'll have a hard time throwing that compliment on people from now on, now that I've outed you.
You just train wrecked another thing. Okay.
Yeah.
We're talking about the tribulation, but you threw something in there on the way out that you're also really informed about the passports and all those things that are going on. I think that plays into us leading to where the spirit of the world really is. But
okay.
But just take us into this however you can, because
okay.
I'd like to hear what you got to say.
Well, why don't I talk about that real quick, and then we'll go to the two witnesses. How's that?
Yeah, that's fine. Take as much time as you need.
Okay, well, you're so kind. Okay, well, here's the deal. I just want folks to know, again, I'm not pulling this out of my back pocket. You can check behind me and check it all out, and I've got real-life examples right out of the headlines to help you to understand that I'm not lying to you. Here's the thing. I've got my own radio show, and I do interviews every week, you know, radio and TV interviews all the time, so I kind of have to stay up on this stuff. It doesn't mean I'm right all the time, but again, I'm not pulling this out of my back pocket, folks. If you've never heard this before, you're going to think that I'm, you know, some conspiracy theorist or something, but this is the truth. Look, the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, you remember when Trump said, we're going to have a vaccine in 3 or 4 months? That's when he was in office. The left, they went crazy. They said, that's impossible. You're out of your mind. But they knew he wasn't out of his mind. They knew he was telling the truth because he said we're going to bypass the FDA, we're going to take away liability from these companies, we're going to let these companies work, Pfizer, Moderna, etc. And the left went, oh, you can't do that. But they knew that he could. They wanted to be the ones to do it. But Trump beat them to it. And so I'm going to explain all this in a moment. Now, in the meantime, you've got Florida's governor coming along saying, we will not ever, ever, ever have vaccine passports in Florida. Then he said, we're not having mask mandates in Florida. If you want to mask up, that's fine. But there are no laws about masks. We're not going to close churches in Florida. Texas basically the very same thing. And you say, well, how can these guys do this? These governors are breaking the law. No. The federal government has been breaking the law or surreptitiously encouraging businesses and other state governments to break the law, hoping we would never find out about the law they're breaking. Well, the governor of Florida knows what it is. That's why he said what he said. And then Biden, just today or yesterday, I can't remember, he has just come out and said, folks, there will be no national vaccine passports. Well, why would Biden say that? Because the Florida governor and the Texas governor threw him under the bus when they came out and pronounced it. The only thing Biden could do was jump on the bandwagon and try to look like a hero as well, because Biden knew that the Florida governor and the Texas governor were standing on federal law. And if Biden tried to buck them, they would out him for the hypocrite that he is. That's why he came out today, or maybe it was yesterday, and gave the same ruling. He wants to look like a hero, too, because Florida's governor and Texas governor looks like a hero to the whole nation. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about the law that Trump was going to use and did use to get a vaccine. Now, I'm not wild about the vaccine, so don't hear me wrong on this, folks. I'm just explaining to you what's going on in the background. Here it is. You can look it up. It's called the EUA Act, and that stands for Emergency Use Authorization Act. I don't have it in front of me, but I can talk about it all day long. I cannot remember when it was passed, but it was in the early to mid-2000s, so it's relatively recent. And I'm going to paraphrase, but basically it says this. If some kind of dire emergency comes to the United States regarding, you know, health, a biological weapon waged against us, some kind of outbreak, pandemic, some kind of plague, if we don't have the necessary drugs and vaccines to combat this, or the necessary equipment, or the necessary protocol for use of certain equipment, we can bypass the FDA. See, normally everything like that has to go through the FDA to get a drug approved, a vaccine approved, some kind of new equipment approved. Sometimes it takes years. Most of the time to get a vaccine or a new drug approved, it takes from 5 to 10 years. Donald Trump was telling us that back in January, February, March when he was talking about getting these companies to work on a vaccine. Excuse me. He said it could take up to 10 years. He's absolutely right. That's on the federal websites, and it's on the FDA website. Now, so what do you do in an emergency? Well, sometime back they passed this law called the Emergency Use the Emergency Use Activation Act, so EUA. So what it says is that in an emergency, the president can bypass the FDA and can employ even private companies to develop drugs and vaccines and protocol, etc. And he can hold them, he can make sure that they're not held liable. He can give them federal money, billions and billions of dollars. He can keep them, I just said, not liable from lawsuits, and he can bypass the FDA. And that's why Trump said, I'm going to bypass the FDA. And the left was going, you can't do that. Of course he can. They knew it. They were involved in passing the EUA. And so, Emergency Use Authorization Act. They knew he could do it. I'm telling you, these guys are so filled with hypocrisy and lies. Trump's up there, the media every night's tearing him down saying, he can't do that. Yes, he can. And so that's what he did. Now, but the caveat is, brother, the EUA Act clearly says, and I read it over my radio show 2 or 3 weeks in a row, it clearly says, if a drug or a vaccine or a piece of equipment or a protocol for the use of that equipment is under the EUA Act, in other words, it's getting federal money, federal support, bypassing FDA procedures, and it's being suggested for use, like the CDC says, here's our suggested activities, social distance, wear a mask, you know, don't go to large crowds, all of that. See, that was never law. It was suggested CDC protocol or CDC recommendations. And of course, businesses said, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going by, the CDC. And everybody just assumed it was law. County commissions and city councils were making people do this stuff. Businesses making you wear a mask or you can't come in their business. All along, they were violating federal law. EUA says you cannot force citizens to take a vaccine or use a drug that is deemed experimental. Well, what's deemed experimental? Anything that's not approved by the FDA but is being promoted by the government. Guess what COVID vaccine is? Experimental. It's on the EUA website as experimental. I know a lot of people in the military, and they've already told me that their commanding officers have told them they do not have to take a vaccine because it is experimental. Well, where are they getting that information from? From the EUA, and they know it. Where did Ron DeSantis get his authority to say nobody in the state of Florida has to take a vaccine, they will not carry a passport, and no private business can make you take a vaccine in order to work in that business or to come in the doors of that business? How could he get away with saying that? Because it's federal law, Pastor Dan, and he knew it, which is why Biden came out the very next day and said, me too, me too, me too. But until it started being discovered, and these governors, and I'd like to think maybe I had something to do with that. Now, I'm kind of being funny because I doubt if I did, but I've got a huge radio program. I've been talking about it for weeks. I found it out. Now, I wasn't the first one. Somebody else found it out. They sent me an email. I went and checked it out. I thought they were conspiracy theorists. I read the law. I said, oh, my gosh, there it is right in front of our face. So guess what else is an EUA, equipment and protocol? The wearing of masks continually. It's never been done before by any act or mandate in our nation. Oh, in the Spanish flu, various governments asked people to wear masks. But even then, even Fauci was part of a study that determined after it was all over that a lot of the deaths were caused from too much mask wearing, and it caused bacterial pneumonia, and it was unhealthy, and it never worked, and it didn't stop the virus. And even Fauci was a part of that study. That's all documented. So it's experimental. And so this was under EUA. So look at what's happened, brother. For the last year, we've had churches closed, pastors put in jail, citizens fined and put in jail, businesses closed, businesses lost, lives ruined, and because all of this, you know, mandate mask, if you don't wear a mask, we'll close your church down. And then the rumors start, well, it wasn't a rumor that the government was floating the idea of national vaccine passports. You can't fly unless you have one. You can't go to the grocery store unless you have one. People were panicking, and the government was loving it. Look at the fear. Look at the fear. Look, we're controlling the people. And then Ron DeSantis stepped in and spoiled the whole party. And Carl Gallops was getting on the radio and reading the law over the airwaves, and it was going viral and spoiling the whole party. And Greg Abbott of Texas joined the throng, and it was spoiling the party. And Joe Biden panicked and said, me too, me too, me too. And just yesterday, that's right, no national vaccine passports. Well, that's odd, because for a year that's all he could talk about was, we're going to require a national vaccine passport. We're going to require one. If you elect me president, I'll require everybody mask up. And you remember after he went in office and they were trying to hold him accountable, he said, well, I can't really do that in the whole nation, but I can pass an executive order for government offices. Actually, according to the EUA, and I'm not an attorney, but it looks to me when I read that law that he couldn't even do that legally, because government employees are not members of the military. They're just employees. And you can't, it says in the EUA, you cannot make private citizens, and government employees are private citizens, you cannot make them take a vaccine or a drug or use equipment that the FDA has not approved. So I just want your audience to know that. Now, I'm going to read something off the FDA website, too, that's going to blow your audience away, because I've been screaming this for a year. You and I have done it right here on your show. And I know some people have said, no, that's not right. Even doctors and nurses who are misinformed, ill-informed, and have been educated in liberal colleges have even tried to correct me and say, that's not true, that's not true. Well, no, they were wrong and I was right. And it's because I can read. It's not because I'm a doctor or a nurse or I'm so smart. Most doctors and nurses have agreed with me because they know what I'm getting ready to say. I'm going to read one paragraph. It's a long article, but I'm going to read one paragraph off the FDA website. And it's at fda.gov/medical-devices/personal-protective-equipment-infection-control, etc., etc. It's there. It's still there. And here's what it says. Are you ready for this, Dan? It says, surgical masks are not intended to be used more than once. If your mask is damaged, I'm sorry, I skipped to the last paragraph, and I'll read that. Let me go back to the paragraph that I wanted to read. Quote, while a surgical mask may be effective in blocking splashes and large particle droplets, that's like sneezing and coughing, a face mask, by design, does not filter or block very small particles, that would be viruses, in the air that might even be transmitted by coughs or sneezes or even certain medical procedures. In other words, the FDA says a surgical mask does not stop a virus at all, at all. Even if you say, well, it helps if you cough or sneeze. The FDA says, no, it doesn't. And then the next sentence says surgical masks also do not provide complete protection from germs or other contaminants because of the loose fit between the surface of the mask and your face. And then it goes on to say surgical masks are not intended to be used more than once. If your mask is damaged or soiled, or if breathing through the mask becomes difficulty, you must remove the face mask, discard it, and replace it with a new one. So the FDA has been saying on their website forever what I've been telling my audience on the radio for a year, and like on your program and others, and people have attacked me and said, you're an idiot, you're a science denier, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, it's what the FDA says. So anyway, I hope that helps your audience to know about vaccine passports and masks, and do what you want. If you want to take the vaccine, fine. If you want to wear a mask, fine. I'm not going to judge you, but don't get in my face and tell me that by law I have to do these things, because by federal law I do not, and you can't make me do them. And if you've lost a job because you wouldn't wear a mask, you've got a lawsuit on your hands. You can sue now, because now it's out. The secret's out. And I got to admit, I didn't know these things were in writing when I started talking to this a year ago. It's only been in the last month when I've actually discovered these things on the FDA website and the EUA website. And now, as I said, Ron DeSantis is proof that it's out there and he knows it. Abbott's proof, and now Joe Biden has come out and said, me too, me too, me too. I want to be a hero too. No national vaccine passports. And even the World Health Organization came right out, right behind Biden, and they said, me too, me too, me too. We're not recommended that any nation, anybody has vaccine passports. And then they went one step further and they said, besides, we're not even sure if the vaccines are working. The World Health Organization said that yesterday. So I'm going to hush and let you interject or ask more questions, but I thought your audience would want to know this. This is pretty huge stuff.
Okay, you got me, Carl. Amen. I'm so glad you brought that up. To me, it looks like the whole country could be suing the federal government. Or businesses. You know, I know people that really got hassled hospitals wouldn't let them in because they wouldn't wear a mask to see somebody, or just a whole list of things that brought people to utter tears. I don't even know how they could handle the lawsuits in something like this. For the record, if you get a minute afterwards, would you please send me a link over to where you found this at? Because I want to inform my people that that's just such valuable information. Thank you.
I will send it. I sure will. Absolutely. I might be able to send it right here over Skype here in a minute while we're talking. But anyway, so enough of that. We've only got 10 minutes. You want to do the two witnesses next time? Because that's a 35, 40-minute teaching.
We can stay on this. Yeah, actually, we've got about 4 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'll tell you when we get out. At 56 minutes out, I've got to be gone. I've got to say my goodbyes and all that stuff.
Okay. We've got 4 minutes then for me. Yeah. So, yeah.
So use them up, Carl.
Well, let me just ask you, do you have any other questions about what I said? And brother, please, I want your audience to hear my heart. I'm not here to tell you what to do with your health. I mean, the government's trying to do it. It's up to you. I'm not some cult leader. I'm just bringing you the facts, the legal facts. I don't play a lawyer. And I've begged people, if you lost your job because you wouldn't take a vaccine or wear a mask, please get a lawyer. And I very seldom encourage people to sue, Dan, and I very seldom encourage people to do boycotts. But brother, they were trying to take our lives and churches from us and our jobs, and some of them did it with ignorance. They didn't know the law, but I guarantee you the left knew the law. They were involved in getting it passed in the first place. And now that others are finding it out, like the governor of Florida and the governor of Texas, and they're starting to back way off. It's like, oh, my gosh, we're getting ready to get caught. We better get on the right side of this quickly. And I'm just encouraging people, please get a lawyer. Now, here, you know what the shame of it is? Most lawyers don't know this, you know, but you can educate them. If I'm a country preacher and an ex-cop, if I could do that research in a matter of 30 minutes and find all the websites, get all the information, read the laws, a lawyer should be able to do it. And once they do, they will see that you've got a lawsuit, especially if you were fired from your job, or especially if you were trying to go to the grocery store in your little community and they wouldn't let you in unless you wore a mask, or some of them even showing vaccine passes and stuff. That is illegal, 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 illegal. It's experimental drugs and procedures and vaccines. And the federal law says you cannot make private citizens do that. There's one caveat, and that is in an extreme national emergency, they have to go through all kind of procedures to get it approved, but the Secretary of Defense can require the military to take an experimental vaccine. But that's, I don't know that it's ever been used. Well, I don't think it's ever been used since it was passed. It's only been passed in the last 10 or 11, 12 years. And I understand that in the hands of benevolent people, if some nation unleashes the bubonic plague upon our military and we come up with a vaccine for it in a matter of a few weeks and it's working, then the government could step in and say, look, before our military is wiped out and we're all slaves of this nation, we're going to require the soldiers to take it. I get that. But they cannot come to Dan's house or Carl's house and make us take it, or say, if you don't take it, you're going to lose your job. Not according to the federal law.
Wow. Absolutely. You know what, Carl? That just blows me away. You know, I thought the reason they hadn't mandated it federally was because the states had their own individual rights and it had to come from the states instead of the federal government. I didn't realize this was in law, and I've got all kinds of things going through my head right now. I'm going to thank you. You blew my brain up, but I'm glad. I'm going to have to rethink a couple of things. But that's just fantastic to have that information, Carl. I know you do realize that, but wow. It's there in law. There's so many people that could sue businesses and some of these people are just downright rude about the mask thing. You know what I mean? Instead of asking you or.
Oh, I know.
it's just crazy. Wow. Back to you. You got about a minute, and then I gotta say goodbye. I'm just flabbergasted. I can't wait to look at the site.
Yeah. Well, I'll send you the stuff, and it's very cut and dry. Even the let me see here. I was going to look for it here. How much time do we have? A minute or two?
Got a minute.
Okay. Well, look, from that FDA article where I said a surgical mask cannot block small particles, the paragraph before that seems to contradict it, but when you understand it, it doesn't. It says, if worn properly, a surgical mask is meant to help block large particle droplets, splashes, sprays, or splatter that may contain germs. Okay, it doesn't say viruses. It just, you know, nastiness. Keeping it from reaching your mouth and nose. Surgical mask may also help reduce exposure of your saliva and respiratory secretions to others. Okay, when you just read that, you say, see there, that's why we wear it. But the next paragraph says, but a surgical mask, while it may be effective in blocking splashes and large particle droplets, it does not filter or block very small particles in the air that can be transmitted by cough, sneezes, or certain medical procedures, et cetera, et cetera. And so think about it. They even make a big deal out about changing it, only wear it once, don't touch your face while you're doing it or touch the mask while you're doing it. See, that's what doctors and surgeons, if a surgeon's doing a surgery and he's got his mask and he touches his mask or his face under the mask, they will stop him. They put another surgeon there while he gets a nurse to take that mask off, clean him up. He might have to re-scrub and put on a new mask.
I'm completely out of time. Tell him I got to go. You can send me that through email or something. But
I will.
Goodbye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Folks, that's Pastor Carl Gallup's appointment at carlgallups.com, carlgallups.com. But, folks, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Pray about supporting Talk Radio. You just got information that you didn't know. I'll post it over on the pastor's page. But, folks, remember, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. And again, support Talk Radio. Share this program. Lord our God, Father King, universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.